Thank you. Welcome to Hope Baptist Church Sunday School Hour. Glad that you could make it. And we've been in a series of lessons that I've entitled In the Beginning, and I'm on lesson number 16. And it's about Bible revelation of the ages, how to understand the Bible throughout the ages. And a lot of folks, in especially our age, I have found in my studies and my teachings, my preaching, my travels, that folks believe many different things when it comes to the Word of God. And a lot of it is spun out of, I want to say, lack of study. Number two, maybe a little ignorance. Paul said 7 times, I did that in ignorance, being more ignorant. So I know that, and to be ignorant, it's not a slam. It's just a lack of maybe understanding and knowledge. And once we get a hold of that, we make changes. We adjust what we do, how we think. And I wanted to recommend a book. Every couple weeks, I try to recommend something to read. And some of you have already come to me and said, I read that book by Andy Andrews on how to kill 11 million people. And it's a good book. It'll trigger. You can download that. You can get it on ebook. And you can get it if you have audio. It'll read it to you. It takes about an hour to read 7,000 words, and so it doesn't take too long to get through that, but it's a great read. It kind of program you, reprogram you, make you think about what quote-unquote and who quote-unquote is lying to you. Who's lying to you out there? Oh, Brother Phil, I got that. The news, you can't trust nothing they say. And we've said that 1,000 times. And it's not only them. It's throughout the whole world. You say, how do you, well, that's unfounded. The whole world. Well, yes, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Oh, no. The argument is, this world's God's. I got news for you today. Yeah, he created it. He's in charge ultimately in the end, but right now we're in a cycle. We're in an age. We're in a time period. Right now, this world is under a curse, and it's under the condemnation of the devil, and the God of this world right now, as you know it, things that happen here is the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those which believe not. Oh, I don't believe that stuff you guys get out of the Bible. Those are the very folks that are blinded. And at least the light of the glorious gospel must shine unto them. So our ultimate goal this morning is not to try to be a wealth of information here, not to be deep spiritually or trying to bring you into the deeper life. That's not our goal. Say, what is your goal? As I have said before, it's simply to edify the church, to lift up the body of Christ, to challenge and exhort one another to love and good works. And let's face it, if we're saved today, the ultimate goal that we have is to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ, which brings him much glory and much honor. Now, Brother Steve's out today. They live across a creek, I believe, and they don't get out if it floods. So I've got a feeling, I'm guessing a lot, but going from the past, Brother Steve's not here. I have a few charts left. There's the simple line chart. Brother Matt, I see you headed this way. Thank you, Deke. If you don't have one, it'll kind of establish where we're at this morning. So my goal is the same, just to challenge people, encourage people, and I say, well, what are you trying to make out of me? Nothing. I just, a better Christian? I don't know. Could we be more like Jesus than we are? Yeah, probably could. So that's ever our goal, ever our, and we want to see folks come to Christ. We think that's the ultimate business of the church and people of God, Christian people, telling others about Jesus Christ. I hope everybody here has had a witness this week of some kind. Every time you witness to somebody doesn't mean they're going to get saved. You understand that. I had a good witness. Every week I go out someplace. The week before I went out, the guy, when we got all done talking, me witnessing to him, he's shaking my hand and handed me $100 for the Christian school. So I'm not saying that'll happen every time you witness, amen. I'm not saying somebody will get saved every time you witness, but every time you get the opportunity, you should speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do it in such a way that they don't perceive you as an automatic idiot. You say, well, what's that? That's having wisdom. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. He that winneth souls is wise. But you'd be surprised, because of the world and the ever-streaming influx of things that come into our eyes and our ears day after day after day after day, deceive us into thinking there's something else more important than telling somebody else about Christ. And I can't think of anything. I don't think the economy is more important. I don't think the government is more important. I don't think the flu shot's more important. No. The pandemic, I think it's all just deceptions and part of the curse that we live under. I think we're still to be about our Father's business and be focused. So my passage for today for our text is 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, and we've been in the church age, and I've put up a new chart. Say, thank God he put up the last chart. Yeah, finally did. last one. And it's the seventh period or time slot that we have, and it's it deals with the kingdom, and then which the millennial reign, and the then cometh the end, 1 Corinthians 15, 24, 25, Revelation 20, verse 14. But over here on this side, as we get through, so today we're going to be talking about the things that lead up to this. We were just at the tail end of it. I thought, well, we'll just put up the new chart. It actually begins with the judgment of the living nations in Matthew chapter 25. And as our way and manner has been, we've been looking at verses that apparently contradict themselves, and looking at verses that is commonly taken out of context and used to get something across that is unscriptural. So, and those, you say, well, how does that help me to know that? It helps you to have an answer for that person out there that you may witness to that ask you about it or ask you a question. You're supposed to have a biblical answer, not your psychological evaluation, not the common answer, but what thus is thus saith the Lord. And you don't have to be a preacher to do that. You can be well-versed in the scriptures and have a pretty good answer for folks. And you'll find out when you can answer biblically a question like that, it oftentimes dispels maybe the seriousness of the person. I was witnessing this week to a gentleman, and we talked, and I asked him if he was a Christian. He says, I am a good Christian man. I said, wonderful. I said, I love the fact that you're a Christian. Then he said, I've been a good Catholic all my life. And I thought to myself, okay, I know that the Catholics don't teach salvation by grace through faith. I knew that. So when he said he was a Christian, I knew it was worldly terminology. So all of a sudden, I felt I needed an answer for him, because he's looking at me and saying, are you a Christian? And the door opened, and I said, yes, I am. Say, how did you handle that? Very carefully. he was my elder. He was 74 years old. He lives in Matamor, Indiana. And I don't remember his name, doesn't matter. He drives a truck out of Greensburg today, still employed, still works. I thought, well, you know, here I am in the parking lot talking to this guy, and he wants to know how I'm a Christian. He already told me how he was. And I noticed on his hat he had a bee, a little gold embellished bee with some yellow on it. It was a honeybee. It was like a brooch you might wear on your jacket or your hat. He had it on his hat. And I said, man, you got a bee on your hat. Yeah, how you like that? I said, I do. I said, that's a honeybee. He said, you're right, it's a honeybee. I said, those honeybees have a remarkable homing device built in. And he's looking at me, and he is fumbling in his pockets just like this. And I'm thinking, he's either going to shoot me or he's going to think I'm pure like crazy. And he gets out this thing like this. And I'm looking at it, and he hands it to me, and it says honeybee on it. He says, I make that. I'm into bees. I make this candy. Try a piece. Well, I unwrapped that, put that in my mouth. I sucked on that, and I thought, man, the Lord has opened the door. And he still wanted to know how I knew I was a Christian. I said, I have a homing device just like those bees do. He looked at me, and he said, what? He said, what would you know about a homing device that a bee has? Well, they come back to the hive every day, don't they? They go home, and they go where it's sweet and where it's good. And he's looking at me like, you are deranged. I said, no. I said, I'm going to tell you how I'm a Christian. I said, many years ago when I was just a child, I got saved by trusting Jesus, and now I have a homing device. I know where I'm going when I die. He looked at me and he said, well, you're right, that bee, you know. And I said, and where I'm going, it's sweeter than honey, according to the word of God. And man, he's looking at me and I said, it's not about your religion, my friend. He says, well, I don't even know. Nobody knows where they're going when they die. I said, I do. If God can put a homing device in a bee when he saves you, he can put a homing device in you. I'm headed for heaven. You say, what was that? I guess a hillbilly way to witness. I don't know. But I teach this stuff. And you wouldn't have had to known any of this to tell about the bee, I guess. But I find something about the Word of God when it's given out and taught on some level. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it will increase your faith, and that's a spiritual faith that you can't get from the world or education anywhere else. And it'll give you that spiritual edge and that spiritual faith that you need to be a good witness. So be a witness every day this week. Get that book, Pulling Down Strongholds by R.B. Ouellette. You can find it online, Ouellette, O-U-E-L-L-E-T-T. How'd I do? O-U-E, okay. Ouellette, it's probably French. He's a pastor in Michigan, and he writes a number of good books, has a Bible Institute, Bible College. I recommend his stuff, and get that. It's just wonderful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by gathering neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? Day of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that ye, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know that what withholdeth, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And we want to talk about this, and I'll read verse 8 in just a moment, mark my place there. There's a lot of thought, a lot of rhetoric, a lot of talk about, is the Antichrist here yet? And if he is, who is he? Where is he? Remember when Obama got in, he was a man of color and his ethnicity was questioned, and they wondered, could he fulfill the Bible role as the man of sin? And I remember covering a series of messages on prophetical things, and even probably held a meeting here about that time. And I had a graph and some charts and things, and we taught about end time things. And I said, I don't believe that he's the Antichrist, but he's a good type of the Antichrist. But I can't know for sure. You say, why? He hasn't been revealed yet. You say, could he be here? He could be here, but he has not been revealed. So no man can be sure of that. And you say, well, he's here and working, and and that's why we're in the mess that we're in. No, he's not here and working. Say, how do you know that? One way, the church is still here. Because the church gets caught out right before, and watch this, and I'll try to give some explanation to this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1-12. So if we should believe the scripture, verse 8, I was ready to begin verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Now he's talking about the Antichrist and the revelation of the Antichrist, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now don't you ever misunderstand how he comes on the scene. We know that from Revelation chapter 1 down to about verse 4, 5, and chapter 6. I meant chapters 1 through chapter 6, chapter 4, 5, and 6, that he comes on a white horse as a man of peace. He doesn't come as a tyrant. He doesn't come as a deceiver. He doesn't come as any of those things. He comes claiming to be God. He comes claiming to be, if you please, the Son of God. That's why the word Antichrist. So he's claiming to be Christ, but he's really not. And the Bible has it right, calls him Antichrist. Say, but when he shows up, he shows up with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. Say, what's that? Powers. Well, that's power to heal the sick. You say, where do you get this powers thing? Well, what things did Christ do when he showed up on earth? As a sign unto the Jew. And he's going to have these as a sign unto the Jew and the world, and he's going to have them a sign unto the Jew. And you know why? Not to help them, not to make them better, but to annihilate the Jews. Oh, Brother Phil, why do you think it's called Jacob's Troubles? Why do you think there are 66 chapters in the book, or in the book of Job, and the whole book of Job is about the nation of Israel and all the things that they'll go through. And at the latter end of the life of Job, he's restored and everything's brought back to him twofold. And that's exactly what will happen. That's a picture of what's going to happen to the Jew. So he's not revealed yet. Church is still here. He's a deceiver. And he comes on the scene. That's why there's such a big move today with healings. You see a lot of this. These signs, remember we told you there were 9 sign gifts talked about in the apostolic age. And if you didn't get those things right and nailed down and who God was talking to about those and why he said what he said about them, then you would have confusion when you got over in the Pauline epistles and Paul said, where there shall be tongues, they shall cease, talking to the church. But you see plenty of churches today wrapped up in the tongues movement. Huh? Say, what's wrong? Somebody didn't rightly divide. The Bible doesn't contradict. It's there for a reason, and we're supposed to have that answer. I witnessed to another man this week. I was in a store, and he was the assistant manager. He'd been on the job 8 days. He wasn't my age. He was older, but he wasn't my age. And he just looked right at me and said, can I help you? And I said, yes. I told him what I needed, and he said, great, wait right here, I'll get you some help. He got me some help, and he come back, and he started chatting with me. He said, I've only been on the job 8 days. I said, great. And I said, you're going to do great. I can tell you have good people skills. He said, thank you for that. I'm an ex-deputy that worked on the SWAT team here in the Lawrenceburg area, and I probably shouldn't say his name, or should I? Is it okay if I say his name? Because I told him I'd pray for him. Don't matter. I don't get shot here. His last name was Cooper. I don't know if anybody's ever run across him or not. And so we talked, and he says, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a preacher. He looked at me and said, what kind of a preacher? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher, an independent Baptist. Oh, one of those guys is what he said. His eyes got all big, and he's walking around there like that. He says, well, I'll tell you what, my grandma was a preacher. I said, oh, she was? He said, yeah. And he said, she could speak in tongues. Can you speak in tongues? I said, yeah, I get. How are you defining tongues? Are you defining it as a language, jibber-jabber? What do you want here? I can speak a little Spanish. I can jibber. And I just kind of went along with the flow, and hee-hawed with him. He said, okay. He said, you don't believe in speaking tongues. I said, I didn't say that. You said that. I believe in speaking in tongues, but I believe it was done in the church at a certain time, for a certain time period, for a certain sign to a certain people. And he looked at me and said, "Say what?" I said, "Let me back up to the basics. Are you a saved man?" "No, I ain't a saved." "What do you mean saved? I live in America." I said, "Man, that don't save you. When you die, you going to heaven or you going to hell?" And he looked at me and the ladies that's helping me, they said, "Yeah, go ahead and answer him, Big Mike." He's a big man. His name was Mike. I said, "I can see you have a warm reception here and these ladies that are helping you." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I've only been here 8 days and I've caught a lot of flack. Now I'm catching it from you." I said, "Oh, no, you're not catching it from me, brother. I'm just telling you, you must be born again. I don't care what your religion is." So I had two opportunities to witness this week. That one was pretty good. I did buy a dishwasher from him, so it's pretty good. He come out all right. Literally, now, we want to talk about this literally and all these things we talked about in 2 Thessalonians. And this is your key passage here in the book of the Pauline epistles for what the church should be believing about the Antichrist. Where is he? When is he coming? And it looks to me like, although he could be alive through the church age, he doesn't show up till the rapture of the church. And let me explain that to you. So literally, he that hindered the revelation of the Antichrist. And that's what the writer was saying, Paul was saying here, when you back up to verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and now we know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, and he's talking about somebody holding something back until he be revealed, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity, now that's the devil, that's Satan, that's the Antichrist here, doth already work. So we know his work is here. He could be here, but something's holding back, some force, some resistance is holding back his revelation. So I said literally, he that hindereth the revelation of the Antichrist will continue to hinder until he be removed. So whoever's resisting, whoever's holding back this information will one day be removed. Watch it. Then shall that lawless one be manifest. Then shall he be revealed. Say, well, who in the world's holding this thing back, Brother Phil? The Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And the church is still here, and the Holy Ghost works in a sevenfold ministry in the church today, and he's still working today. He's comforting, he's indwelling, he's teaching, he's preaching. There's seven things that are manifest of the church, of the Holy Ghost in the church age that are not manifested before the church age nor after the church age. Doesn't mean he wasn't here. Doesn't mean they're two different Holy Ghosts. It just simply means he's ministering in the capacity that our God, our sovereign God, set up for him to do. And he is a third part of the Godhead or the Trinity of God. Now, let me go further. Let me say, Paul made it clear that the consummation of Satan's program and purpose in the earth has been held in restraint, that's what he's saying, until God's appointed time. You know, there's no way you can get around the time frame of God. And only by removal of the restraint can Satan's man of the hour, quote unquote, that wicked, the Bible says, that man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth the and exalteth him of all that is called God, showing himself that he is God, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, be removed. So there's something standing in his way. There's something that keeps him from being revealed. His works are here. We see the signs and wonders being worked in a non-apostolic age. Now, they were supposed to work in the apostolic age, but those they were to pass away and then come down through the church age period, as we taught, and then you get to those seven periods, as we taught earlier, church periods, and then to the end in the Laodicean church period, where we're at, as we believe, as Bible believers. We live in a time of the rights of the people. I'll believe what I want to believe when I want to believe it, and I don't care what you believe. That's the time we live in. And if I don't like what you believe, I'll vote you out. You say, what's that? Well, the whole democratic system is set up as rights of the people. You don't like somebody in politics, you vote them out. Amen. And people will go, they'll put all their efforts and all their money and all their finances and all their education into some political platform someplace. And then when it's all said and done, they thought they voted in the right guy and found out they're twofold more the child of hell than the guy they got rid of, huh? Say, what's that? You live in a wicked economy. Our leaders are wicked. They're vile. This world's not our home. It's the home of the devil. He's in charge of that thing. Yeah, God knows what's going on, and it's not in his time frame yet to step in, but one of these days he'll step in. And when he steps in, remember the message I preached Sunday night if you were here? I preached on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I preached the first part of that thing is the rapture of the church. I've been teaching along those lines. At any time, we can be caught out of this thing. Revelations chapter 4, John was caught up. John's the best picture of a personification of a man that personifies or pictures the church. Well, he can't personify a church, but he pictures the church, and the church is caught out in Revelation chapter 4, and here it's caught out before the man of sin is revealed. It's caught out before Jacob's troubles. It's caught out before the wrath of God unfolds upon the face of the earth, so on and so on. There's many places to go. So here, that wicked one, this sinister world power, is personified as the beast or the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 13. If you struggle with remembering things, you know that number 13 is always considered a bad number. You say, oh, I take it because everybody thinks it's bad, so that's my number. Well, that's okay. But in Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist happens to show up, and 13 is associated with the dark side. Amen. I'm just giving you Gentile numbers here. Some people are so superstitious. Say, what? Both ways? Yeah, it seems to roll both ways. They won't even put the 13th floor on the elevator. You go from 12 to 14. I don't want no flat on the 13th floor, man. Stuff happens, man. Where do they get that? I don't know. Revelation 13, Antichrist showing up, somebody taking the mark of the beast. You figure it out. I don't know. So here, let me say this. The church, I'm on point number 5. The church, as the salt of the earth, that's who we are said to be. That's what God said we would be. The light of the world, that's in John, is a great restraining influence in this corrupt and lawless world. Now, I said the church. I didn't say the Holy Ghost, but let me make a point here. The church. And before I make the point, I believe the church and the true church, true believers, are synonymous because the Holy Ghost fills the believers. So when I say church, you're speaking of a godly thing, a spiritual thing. Here, in this corrupt and lawless world, it's the church. But an influence would be adequate to hold back the forces of evil. The indwelling Spirit of God, which we possess, or the third person of the Trinity, is the empowering personal presence that hinders the program and purpose of Satan in this age. I've said that from day one. I say it now. I say it in my writings. Other writers have written the same thing. Other people that believe this book, try to rightly divide this book, say the very same thing. The only thing holding this thing together is the church. Say, why? Because somebody went to a far country to get a Gentile bride. That's why. That's right. And that thing is foreshadowed and forepictured all the way through the Word of God to the fact that Abraham's son down the line went back to his home country to find a wife, and she was considered a Gentile, and he brought that Gentile back. When Jacob wanted Rachel, he got Leah. But before that, his daddy went and got a Gentile bride. Say, what is that? That's a picture of Christ, the Jewish man, going to get a Gentile bride. Says, so that thing ever turned around the Word of God? Yeah, you better be glad it does, because there was a Jewish man one day that took a Moabitess. Say, what's that? Well, that's somebody that was under a curse, somebody that wasn't supposed to be into the sanctuary or house of God to the fourth and fifth generation. I mean, they were cursed of God. You say, why? They were people born into incest from the sins of Lot. Oh, man, this thing gets bigger than you think. But that Moabitess, that read the book of Ruth. Say, what's that about? That's a love story in your Bible. And that's about the Lord Jesus Christ taking a Gentile cursed bride in to be his and making her his wife. And you know what that thing does? She lost that old identity. She lost who she was. She lost that old name, and she became Mrs. Boaz. See, what is that? That's a picture of what happened to you, ladies, when you got married. Say, well, I like my old name. I know Hillary did too. Hillary Rodham Clinton. Say, what happened? She just couldn't give up that name. Say, why? She didn't want to lose her identity in Clinton. I don't blame her. I don't blame her. But, you know, when a woman gets married today, she loses that identity. What's a picture of the Gentile bride marrying the Jew? It's pictured all the way through the Word of God, man. You can't get around that thing. And she loses her identity. Guess what happened to you when you was a child of the devil? God come along and said, you need to be saved. And you said, yeah, you're right, I do. I'm going to split hell wide open. He said, yeah, you dirty rascal, you're a sinner. And your old ugly past and your old ugly sin, you're a child of the devil. You're a son of Satan. And you said, yeah, I know it, Lord. I'm in trouble. I belong to him. I got it at the fall, man. I couldn't help it. Could you help me? He said, yeah, I made a way for you. He said, but you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to give your heart and life to me. And you know, the moment that you did that, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. You lost your old identity. Oh, you're still a sinner because your body didn't get saved. Amen. You'll get a new one of those one of these days. But brother, your soul was saved. Your spirit was quickened. And you become a new creature. And guess what? You got a new name written down in glory. And by the way, if anybody questions you, just tell them you're a son of God. Well, I'm a woman. Just tell them you're a son of God. It'll work. Say, really? Absolutely. It's that surname thing, losing that old identity. So here, the Holy Ghost holds things back. The church, and now when I say that, I mean the true church. Plenty of churches out there. But do you know what? You can have church without the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Plenty of them out there. Watch now, sixth point, the Holy Spirit is resident within the church. I want to say that. The body of born-again believers who are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He resides here. He's here this morning. You say, is he in everybody? No. Why do you think we preach the gospel? Why do you think Pastor Tom always gives the plan of salvation? Why do you think Pastor Jeremiah always gives the plan of salvation? Why do you think Pastor Samuel always gives the plan of salvation? Why do you think I always take a moment somewhere in a lesson to tell folks how to get saved? You know why? Everybody ain't saved. Oh, we live in America. We know what to say. And we're as slick as the devil ever thought about being. He's a deceiver. You know the devil can be transformed into an angel of light. And he would deceive the very elect. He'll try to tell you, oh, I'm saved. Packing a 1611 Bible under his arm, walking into church every day. You say, you don't believe that? Oh, yes, I do. Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You say, what's going on? There's a spiritual thing going on. And everybody that comes in the physical sense is manifestation of some kind of spiritual sense. And brother, all those spirits aren't of God. Amen. Say, oh, man, you just put too much on me, man. You want me to be a witness? Yeah, keep it basic. Go right back to the basics. You know the battle rages. You know we're living in a foreign land. Say, what do I do? Just keep it basic, man. I like a couple of them God's Simple Plan of Salvation tracks when I don't know what to say. The Lord says, you better keep your mouth shut, stupid. I said, well, can I give them a track? Yeah, give them a track. Say, why? Well, they might read that thing. And brother, you know the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful and full of a witness, and it'll speak to you. When the church is translated, raptured, caught out, the restraint of hindering will cease. Right now, there's a restrainer hindering by God's permissive will when the church goes out. And you've heard the phrase, all hell's going to break loose. Amen. But you'll be deceived into thinking the first 3.5 years pretty good. until that second 3.5 years, when most of the population of the earth is annihilated, killed, and thrown into hell itself. So the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is still omnipresent. We need to understand that most people cannot comprehend the omnipresence of the Holy Ghost of God. That's why he's such a good restrainer. That's why the devil can't get an upper hand. Oh, he's got his players in place, and he's got the world. He deceived Adam and Eve and the whole human race. But man, God had a plan. And he ain't going to get one up on that. So he's still omnipresent and still working in the eternal purpose of the Godhead. Don't you ever forget that. One of your best tools is the Holy Ghost of God that lives inside of you. Amen. He can comfort you, lead you, teach you. Amen. Point number 9. With the Antichrist soon to dominate the world scene, and that shall be soon. How do you know that? Because we're well over 2,000 years in the church age. And the church age is supposed to be a couple days long or 2,000 years long, something like that, give or take a few years. And by the way, 100 years of the Lord ain't even the blink of an eye. So just because we get wrapped up in our timeline, we get to be 70 years old, we think we're old, then we get 80, and we really think we're old. Then we hit 90, we really think we're old. It ain't nothing to God. Our life is still but a vapor, and it will vanish away. But God is eternal. The things of God are eternal. Holy Spirit's eternal. The church is eternal. And the devil's eternal. But he gets to spend it in hell throughout all eternity. Amen. So with the Antichrist soon to dominate the world scene, a time of unparalleled trouble for those left upon the earth shall begin. Now, church, you're not in that. You get out before that. And I had in my thinking... And I've always said it. I said there are three classes. From God's view, there are only three classes that make up the whole of humanity: the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of the firstborn of the church of God. So the Jewish nation, Jacob's trouble begins. The Gentile nations, that trouble begins. I didn't get much into the chart, but I thought we better get it up there and get used to what's going on. But as soon as I can get you through the tribulation, I've just about got you through it this morning, then we'll be able to start with what happens during the millennial reign of Christ when and that last picture had the horse and him coming back. This over, had it in that corner. So here the clouds roll back, and he's sitting on a throne, and he begins to rule with a rod of iron. Now, he'll rule better than Donald Trump ever thought about, and he'll have the whole world. He'll rule better than any dictator, any Mussolini, any Hitler, any Biden. Huh? He'll rule better than any world power, better than any Nebuchadnezzar, better than any Belshazzar, better than any king. You can find me any place in the Word of God or any place in history, any place. You say, why? Because he's a perfect God, he's a just God, he's a holy God, and he believes in government. He believes in order and systematically dealing with mankind. Boy, when he gets here, he's going to set that thing up right. All right, I'm looking at my clock. I'm out of time, so we'll be done. And thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for listening. Those that tune in and listen live stream, thank you very much. And I appreciate all the hits. And there were I think, 150 hits on the sermon Sunday night. And then it was shared a number of times. So I'm happy about that. You say, why? As a preacher, all you want to do is put out the Word of God. And you know God's Word will have an effect. Cast thy bread upon the water, for after many days it shall return again. So let's bring forth that fruit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to teach. Thank you for your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. God bless you.